Okay, today's Mishnah in Masechet Taharot is Perek Shmona Mishnah Chet. So I sent you a little picture on the WhatsApp group that is a picture of this Mishnah of an ancient, although it is available on Amazon, an ancient Areva, which is a kneading pot, a kneading pan. And what this Mishnah discusses is actually something that we looked into in the first perek, but we didn't get into the details. So what we spoke about, if you remember in the first perek, was the question of mashke that is tofeach. You have water that's on top of a piece that is next to another piece. And the question is, will the water, because of the fact that the water is chozer lios rishain, so over there we had the issue of if you have two pieces and now they both touch the water that was on the piece between, then they would all be actually considered to be together to form a shear, because that would mean that the mayim that is on it is being metame them, and therefore they are all now urchlin to mayim, and together they can be metame as a kezayit, even though before they didn't have a kezayit. So remember over there we were talking about bread that was still damp. Here, we want to know a different issue, which we didn't really discuss there, and that is the chibur of mayim, where there's actual water, as opposed to just is tofeach, and here, they're all in the same water. Do they have to be connected to each other? And furthermore, we want to know, in the event that they are touching the same mayim that's between the two pieces, how tightly do they have to be touching? So remember, we had the idea of nishicha before. If two things are actually pressed into each other, so then they don't need mayim. So then they are considered to be a single dough, because if you try to pull one piece apart, it's going to drag pieces from the other piece of dough. So we've got three different levels. We've got a level of where they're actually touching and you can't pull them apart without making an impact. We've got a case where they're both touching the damp part that's on the outside of one of the pieces. And now we've got a third case where they may not be touching at all, but they're all immersed in the same water. And interestingly, this question doesn't exhaust all the possibilities. The reason it doesn't exhaust all the possibilities is because, as we'll see, we have a machlokus about what is considered to even be touching sufficiently to view the dampness on one as being connected to the other. So we'll talk about that in a moment. And what's also interesting is that that kind of question can be nogea both tuma and tahara. And we'll see that a lot of the issues that we're about to discuss could be talking about chiburim of things that would be nogea, putting them in a mikveh, and what is considered to all be one pool of water and so on. So we're going to look at it from both sides. So let's take a look at that kneading trough. I think that's what it's technically called, although I'm not sure, but an areva. So it's like the picture shows. And it is ketafres. Now, ketafres is introduced here in a very strange way. Usual, and that's because the next mission is going to be dealing with mikveh and ketafres and chiburim. So what ketafres actually means is that something is running down a mountainside. So what it actually means, the way that it's used here, it means that it's at an angle. So that if you would put water on the top, it's not sitting there, but it's at an angle. It's lift up on one end. If you were to put water on that end, it would run down. Okay. So in that event, we're going to be discussing different types of chiburim. We're talking about immersion. We're talking about ketafres, when there may be liquid running between two things. And we're going to be talking about nitsuk. Nitsuk means where there's an actual column of liquid. It's not on something. It's like if you would take a glass that's full of water, pour the water out into something that contains water beneath it, and now you have a solid piece of water, so to speak, between the water in the glass that you're pouring from and the water in the container that you're pouring into. That's also a question. Is water, is a liquid considered to be attached when it's not in a container and it's flowing? So you can have that where it's running down an incline. You can have it where it's a solid pillar, so to speak, but nonetheless, molecularly speaking, it's just different pieces, different molecules of water. There's nothing that should make it considered to be all one thing. And then we have an actual case where it's in a Kli that would make it all one thing. Okay, so these are the issues we're about to discuss. So we take this strange word, we call it a Reva Shiga Tafra, which essentially means that you've got something that is sitting on an angle on a table, one side lifted up. But sake, you've got a piece of dough that is lamala. So it's on the part that is on top, and it's dry. It doesn't have any water that's there. But the dough on the bottom, you've got mashke tofeach on other dough. Both of these pieces individually are pochus mikibetza, but there's enough mashke tofeach, and this, as we saw earlier, when it says mashke tofeach, it means, as Gavi has written down, tofeach amenat lahatpiach. There's enough water there. This is a type of thing that we found in many, many different areas, Ilchus Netilas Yadayim, for one, question of whether your hands would be metami in terms of tyrus, with stam yadayim. Metofeach amenat latfiach. It's moist enough to something that would touch it would become moist. Then that's called as if there's actual water on it. And that's on the dough that's on the bottom of this areva. So now the question is, would we be able to be metzarif these pieces of dough, some on top and some on the bottom, to be able to get one piece that is the size that is big enough to be mitame? If it is, so then we're in trouble. Because if it would actually be mitame something else, so then that would mean that all of this liquid would be able to be mitame the dough. The dough would be big enough to be mitame the inside of the areva, and therefore everything would become tame, because mashkin is actually mitame something to be able to be mitame something else. So therefore, if that's the case, you would have a trouble over here that is going to obviously depend what we're talking about, cases where it's being used for true medical and so on, like we talked about yesterday. So now here's the rule. The rule is that if you have shalosh chatichot bekebetza, you have three different pieces of dough, and the two top pieces are dry, and the bottom piece, because everything's at an angle, all of the liquid is run down to the bottom, and the only thing that is actually wet is the dough on the bottom, and that has retained its moisture. But if you need three pieces to be the size of a kebetza, then they are not going to be mitztarif to be the size of a kebetza, because only the piece immediately above the lowest piece is going to be in touch with the water on the lowest, on the surface of the lowest piece of dough, which has sucked up water and it's maintained its dampness. And therefore, it may be combined with the lower piece, but the top piece doesn't touch anywhere any kind of mashka. Because of that, it's not mitztarif. Otherwise, what would be mitzarif it? Unless, of course, you actually squeezed one into the other. So the top piece is not included in the combination, and you need all three pieces, and therefore you don't have a kebetza. But what if there's only two pieces of dough, and the lower one is the damp one, and the upper one now comes in touch with the dampness that's on the surface of the lower piece? So then they are mitzarif. And now they're both in touch with that, and therefore now they actually make all of the mashkin that is at the bottom tamei itself. And then we have mashkin tameim. And then mashkin tameim are metame the inside of the areva. Ha ha. Because even though when mashkin touch the outside, they're only metame the outside, but they're not metame the inside and the ogen and the yad, the yadayim, and so on. But when it touches the inside, the halacha is that everything becomes tummy. So in this case, the little bit of mashkin that ended up being mitame, now the two pieces, so that in this case they are actually a kevbeitza, ended up being mitame, not directly the areva, but being mitame the mayim at the bottom, where it's all pooled, and now you've got mayim to mayim, and that will be mitame the areva. Rabbi Yossi says, I disagree. Even if you've got only two pieces, they are not going to be mitztarif unless they are so damp that if you actually would squeeze the two pieces together, then the water that was in between will leak out. But if all you've got is just this little molecular layer of mayim, that's just enough to be tofeach amanat latfiach, that's not enough to be mitzarif. Okay, so this is now a fourth situation. We have either you could be noshech, we have you could be just lightly touching, we've got this new thing of which you can be touching enough that it is actually putting it under pressure and starts to leak water, and then we get to the next case, which is that even if you have immersion in water, then they don't have to be touching at all. And ima yamashke omeid, let's say you have pooled water at this bottom, instead of it being katafras, and everything is lying in the actual areva, instead of being stuck to the surface of the areva, but they're lying in the pool of water at the bottom. So then, afilu ke'ina chardal, I don't care whether these pieces were so tiny that each one is the size of a mustard seed, they could still be mitztarev, because if they're all sitting in the same mayim, they don't have to be touching each other. They only need to be inside of that mayim. I say mayim, it could mean any kind of mashke, as long as it's one of the Shiva mashken, as we discussed yesterday. Rabbi Deisheimer, there's no such thing. The halacha is that separate pieces are not ever mitztarev, even if they are in the same pool of mashkim. They're only going to be mitztarev if they're actually touching each other. So Rabbi Dosa disagrees about the entire idea about tziruf through mashkin without actual touch. Now, the next Mishnah talks about the same katafras idea, but the question over here is not nogea the shiva mashke. The question over here is only binogea water. And when I say water, I do not mean HTO. Because if it's dew, then it's not water. It has to be water that was actually pooled as water. So what you're talking about over here, you have a stick. And this stick is Malaya Mashkin Tamein. It has been lying, even though it says Mashkin Tamein, it only can be referring to water, as we're going to see in a moment. Because we need to also give a slight hakdama for one other point. Can you make foodstuffs tohar in a mikveh if they became tamei? And then you'd be allowed to eat them again if you're a kohen and this was truma. The answer is absolutely not. There is no way to make an ochlin or a mashkin tohar once it becomes tamei. Ask me, so what about the mayim in this case? Mayim is not only a mashkin, but it's also that which comprises a mikveh. Now, in that sense, it doesn't matter at all the dinim of the mashkin aspect of mayim. What matters is that water in certain states is considered to be part of the primordial essence of the earth, and therefore anything in it can now no longer be tamei if it's tireable. Well, that's good for people, but it's not good for food or for drink. True. But I'm going to put this water into it to become part of it, not to be in it as a drink. Once the water that was tamei becomes part of the mikveh, it's no longer mashke. It is simply the water that's part of the primordial earth, right? And therefore, it becomes batel to the mikveh entirely. That concept is called hashaka. It's the kiss of the connectedness of different waters all to each other. And it's not because of being in a mikveh, it's because of being a mikveh. So now, if you've got water that's absorbed in a stick, now, the stick is dripping water. You put the end of the stick that you're holding vertically. Now, this is classic kataphras, right? Because the water is dripping, flowing down inside the stick into the mikveh that's at the bottom. So in that case, makel shimaleya mashkin tamei, meaning only water because of what I've just explained. It would be irrelevant if we're talking about other things. Kevan shishika lamikveh, the moment that you kissed the mikveh with this stick, it does not have to be inside the whole thing. It's already tahor because all of the water that's in that stick is part of the mikveh, and therefore it becomes tahor. Here we're talking about a stick. The stick itself is not tame because a stick can't become tame. It's not a kli. It doesn't have a din of a kli. So if you have just a simple piece of wood that hasn't been made into a kli, we're only talking about the question of the water. If it was actually a kli that was wet, it would have to be totally inside of the mikveh, obviously. But the water itself becomes part of the mikveh. Divrei Rabbi Yoshua, a wonderful introduction to the concept of excellent. We have a wonderful example of a stick. This should be incorporated in all of the new art scroll editions so that everyone will understand what is meant by a stick. Could you hold that up very, very clearly? Excellent. A stick. Wonderful.
It's a hollow bamboo straw. So it's a stick and it's a cleat.
Ah, that I didn't see clearly enough over here. A bamboo straw may be very different, but we'll be getting to that as we go further.
Is so, it being dog in the car?
So, according to Rabbi Yoshua, that is considered to be ketafris chibur to a mikveh. The Chachomim say, if you're utilizing ketafris, it's not considered to be a chibur. You'd have to actually put it into the mikveh in order for the water to be in the mikveh entirely. So maybe some of the water at the end of the stick is in the mikveh, but you can't say that all of the water is connected because of the fact that it's being now attracted by gravity. That is not a connection of liquids. So this would be nogea, both tuma and tahira. What is considered to be a connection of liquids? So let's say that you have mayim that is tame in a kli, and you're pouring from a cup of water that's tahor into the kli. Does the solid flow of water in the column that is pouring down, is that able to transfer tuma from the water on the bottom to the water in the cup? That would be a question of whether nitzuk is considered to be a chibur for tuma. On the other hand, what we've been discussing right now is the opposite. You're pouring mayim that is tamei from a cup into a mikveh. Is all of the water in the mikveh and therefore now tohar? That would be a question of whether nitzuk is chibur l'taira. The case that we had up until now, whether ketafris is a chibur for taira. These are the issues that we want to know. So it would be nogea both tuma and tahira. So let me say straight out that a nitzuk, which is an actual column, a stream, ketafras, or if you have liquids that runs down a mountainside, and mashketofeach. Now that mashketofeach would mean that you have, let's say, two pools, and they're on a flat surface, and there's a little bit of liquid, which is the same as the liquid we were talking about before on the piece in the areva. It's enough that if you touch it, it gets your hand damp. And that's connecting the two pools that you've got the water. Are these considered to be ways that those two pools are connected? So let's say one of the pools is a mikveh and one of them is too small to be a mikveh. Could I be tevil things in the puddle that's connected? Either because it's flowing down the mountainside or because it is actually pouring out from the upper into the lower or because it's connected with this dampness between them. No. Eino chibur. Not to make something tame. and not to make something tahor. So if one of these containers of water, which is not a mikveh, let's say it's a stama pool or puddle, if it becomes tummy, the other puddle does not become tummy. If one of them is not a puddle but a mikveh, the small one, that isn't the shear of a mikveh, does not become a mikveh. So it's not a chibur in any direction. Okay, so that means we've got this concept, three different ideas about mashkin. Nitzuk, ketafras, and tofeach. This has been our topic entirely throughout the day. What is considered to be a connection would be ashboren. Ashboren is where you've got pooled water, and of course that's the way we started our discussion when we were talking about the areva. So here you've got pooled water, not just a thin molecular layer of water, but you have ashboren. That is considered to be a chibur of one piece of water to another. It's a chibur for tuma and for tahara. So if one of these is a mikveh, then in that little puddle that's connected to that mikveh, you can go dip your silverware without its needing to go into the big mikveh itself. And it would also be a chibur for tahara. So that if you've got water that's tame, and now it is connected only by a little bit of water that is pooled between it and the mikveh, the whole thing becomes tahor. Because of hashaka, not because of tefillah. Therefore, it's only nogea, not mashkin. It's nogea only mayim. Thank you very much for a lovely experience of another exciting fundamental mikveh in Masechet Taharot. Hadron alach hador, li neder. Okay, looking forward, Bezrat Hashem, to seeing you tomorrow. Kol tov, besorot tovot aleinu.